Before I start with the presentation itself, I'd like to make some acknowledgements. First, I'd like to thank the CADiCert users for all the testing they've made, which helped me a lot, and the BKC's early adopters, the Rose Garden projects, the Geolocate project, and the academy team for letting me presenting my the results of my research today. I'll now draw a small overview of the KDE build system. So the KDE build system usually requires to compile source code into object files. There are usually several commands to use. I think that most of you are familiar with them. The commands use the tools make, essentially, but also shell scripts like configure. The process involves several different tools: autoconf, aclocal, automake, libtool, gnumake. In a quite complicated process that you can see on the figure, the organization of the tools. There are two main files as input, the configure.in.in and the makefile.am, and the output is supposed to build our programs. Another thing which is needed is to install the files, which is to copy the files at specific locations at the end when everything is built. Well, building software itself is not that complicated. The sources are simply transformed into other files. The main issue, I think, in my opinion, with KDE is that the files are compiled in cascade, which is, first we have a file.ui, a user interface description, which is compiled in C++ source code, which is then compiled into other files, and we almost have a graph with all these files. For the documentation too, the docbook files are compiled into cache.bz2 file, but there are dependencies, as you can see on the diagram. The index.docbook file depends on other docbook files which are included in the first file. So it doesn't look that complicated, but the cascading of rules make it complicated to create scripts to compile automatically the programs. At the moment in KDE, the main problems, the main shortcomings are first of technical nature. We have lots of tools, we have lots of scripts. They don't react very fast. The compilation process is quite slow already. And it would be nice if the amount of scripts and the amount of tools was reduced to make it easier to work with. The second point is that adding new compilation rules to build programs is uneasy. For example, I've had a case 2 weeks ago with Calcium, with which we had camel files to compile into object files. We couldn't add the compiling rules very easily to the system. So instead of using the KDE standard way of doing things, which is writing makefile.am, we've had to add custom makefiles to the process, which is really which is something really awful in fact. The second main point is the user friendliness of the process. First of all, the builds are not very reliable. Make relies on timestamps, and most tools have intermediate scripts and cache files, which make the whole system very error prone, and often people get confused about cryptic errors that occur with, for example, libtool. And the final point is that the system doesn't make it hard to make mistakes, and it doesn't make it easy to fix the issues. At the very moment, there is no way to have tools which will check the build scripts automatically, which is to check, for example, if all the scripts for building Conqueror are valid or invalid. And this way, some errors may occur on some computers, but not on others. So, for building software, there are many families of tools which I'll describe very quickly. The first family is the main base tools like GNUmake and Make. These tools in general are not very reliable. They are also complicated and not portable. First, they usually rely on timestamps, which is a bad thing, especially on network environments or when distributing the compilations. They are also unportable and unmaintainable because the compilation rules are very tied to the targets and the parts of the scripts. The second family is the makefile generators like QMake, the auto tools used by KDE at the very moment, or CMake. This family use macros as a language to create makefiles, which are then processed by the make tools. The reliability is still questionable because the final makefiles do still rely on Make. There are more commands needed for compiling. First, the files have to be processed to generate Make files, and then the Make files have to be processed to compile the applications. And errors are much harder to debug because the Make files are automatically generated, so they are not human readable. And the third family is the script-based build systems, like UnsurMake, Sconce, or Cons. The only thing we can reproach them with is that they are slow and memory-consuming, because they are really on Python, for example, which is an interpreted language, and which can be somewhat slower than regular compiled C programs. But they rely on the powerful languages, and thus they allow to do more powerful things. All the tricks in Python are then allowed. These systems are also a bit less adapted for incremental builds because they don't react instantly. They are a bit slower than make equivalents at first sight. Now for KDE4, there are certainly issues for newcomers to the KDE world, when creating applications because there are lots of tools to learn. However, the existing code base is really huge, and switching to another build system is not possible instantly. And what's more is that the developers themselves don't want to change. They have probably spent a lot of time learning the other tools, so they are not really tempted to learn something else. So the state of the main candidates, Unsermec is at the moment the preferred solution in KDE 4 because it provides a quite smooth transition for developers. It still relies on part of the auto tools, but that's the way it is. QMake does not have the necessary features. CMake has been proven to work and to scale. And BKSys is for KDE 3 only at the very moment. Now I will talk about what I'm here for, the BKSys framework. So this build system is mainly targeted at new projects and also casual programmers. It is not the aim is to simplify the build system to allow really quite simple programs to be built very easily. It is not meant for die-hard coders to create insane things or really uncommon things. The second aspect is that it is based on scans. Scans makes it possible to depend on Python only instead of shell scripts, make tools, other tools. There is only Python needed, and if scans is included, it weighs only less than 100 of kilobytes. For a comparison, the admin scripts of KDE weighs about 500 kilobytes compressed. So it's really smaller. It's about 5 times smaller when included in projects. At the very moment, BKSys makes it possible to build not only KDE programs, but also Wix widgets based ones. Our Qt4 programs. It is the architecture, the framework of BKSys is quite modular to make this possible. So to sum up, the main features of the framework made is that it is small, it is also more reliable because it uses scans, and I will make you a demo in a moment to show you what it does exactly. Concerning the framework more specifically, it is divided into three parts. This is perhaps a new pattern. I've found out that it is a good practice to try to separate what the tool has to build from what the rules are to build software and from the system configuration detection. These are the three main parts. To tell the tool what to build, in this part we tell the tool what source to process, what files to install, and we give dependencies the order of processing. When giving rules, we tell the tool how to produce the files and what extra files have to be produced or processed or cleaned during the build. And in the system configuration, we typically find the necessary headers, libraries, configuration checks, and paths. And the system configuration is made in a modular way, which means that that modules that have been written to detect a particular library for the sound can be reused in other BKSS projects by just copying one file. So I will now switch to the demo part. So I have set up a really small project which uses BKSS as the build system.
Can you increase the font size?
Yes.
Thanks.
So basically, in regular KDE projects, you find usually a configure scripts, a mainfile.am, and an admin directory. I have tried to mimic the behavior of the KDE, the original KDE build system, by providing wrappers like configure and a mainfile. A part of this, the mainfile for building these projects are the construct. It contains a small description of the overall project, the admin directory, which contains the necessary scripts and the minimum version of scons, and a configuration file which describes the targets. So the constructs file is actually very small and only contains a few lines for describing what modules to use, if it's for Qt4 or KDE3. In this case, it is only for KDE3. And it tells what files to process. The admin directory contains the module, the generic module which is reused by almost every project, and the KDE module and the parser. And finally, there is an XML file containing a description of the targets to build. So this is the minimum thing needed for building the software. If we try to build the software when Sponce is not on the system, it will be unpacked automatically and used as needed. Now, when building the project, all object files are put in a build directory to keep the SRC, so the main tree, always clean and always free from trailing object files. Once the program is built, all object files are in the build directory, and there is another directory which is the cache, which contains the configuration. So after everything is built, the only thing needed to remove, the only thing we need to remove before distributing the software are the cache directory and the build directory. In the build directory, symlinks are made on the source files to compile them actually. At this point, you perhaps wonder why an XML file has been chosen for giving the targets to build. Actually, there is a program for editing this configuration file and to give the targets. So for newcomers, I think it's much easier to give targets in a GUI instead of in tons of scripts. The KDE project has tons, really many scripts, really many makefile.am for building. In fact, there is about one makefile.am per directory, and the cost of maintenance of all these scripts is not negligible. I have found out that having a central configuration file to manage the targets and the sources is much more easier for the developer and makes it much more maintainable too.
Thinking about one maintainer for one project, but as soon as you get three people working on the same repository, one repository becomes all the problem.
Yes, I agree that when there are many developers working on many projects, that can be a problem. However, this configuration file is for one application, one module, if I can say. So, I'm working on the KDSAT project, but if someone else works on another project which is related, the other project will have its own XML file for building. But for this particular application, everything is in one central file. It is, in my opinion, it is not necessary to mix the descriptions of, for example, KDE libs and KDE base. In fact, there is a clear separation. So this could follow a separation too. There is no issue there.
Yeah, but KDE base alone is big enough, KDE thin enough, is enough to make this mess. And then you have a problem that if you're moving application from one module to another, or just reorganizing your own source code within KDE server, will make it rather possible to reorganize this file, because then you're just back to the unreliable behavior. Because you have to remember exactly which files, which lines in your XML file talk about which subdirectory which you just renamed to KDSAT, or source old, or compact.
The aim of the manager is to simplify the manipulation of files.
Then I have a problem. If someone came here, a developer, uses what's called pmanager.
Yes.
Yeah. Pmanager version 1 and pmanager version 2 changes just slightly the identity. And you have one came here, a developer, committing a small change, and you see a huge diff, and you have no idea what he actually changed. Then you have other problem. The other guy changing something else.
I agree. However, the indenting is made automatically by the tool. And the second.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about SVN conflicts.
Yes, SVN conflicts. But in my opinion, the SVN issues are SVN issues. They are not worth being considered for this case, which is simple projects and quite simple situations. What's more is that we cannot I cannot stop every minute if there is a perhaps imaginary conflict with the source code management. UI files, which are XML files, are used at the very moment. And
yeah, but we don't have one huge XML file that specifies all other UI files.
This file is not huge either. For example,
I don't have KD service. I mean, and if you would create one for all KD games, you would create a huge one.
In other words, can we create several XML files for our project?
Yeah. So that's what we get with documentation, actually.
Let's say I have KD develop mode. Can I have several XML files to build it?
Yes.
So I'm not required to have one XML file to build the KD
model,
right?
It is not required. It is for the convenience of users. It makes it possible to centralize parts of the project.
Yeah, but
It is not mandatory. The thing I'm really insisting on is that this manager is meant for quite simple projects and perhaps for new developers coming to the KDE world. It is not meant to address the issues of the whole KDE tree at the very moment. I think the issues will be resolved by little steps, but it won't work out of the box right now for the whole KDE tree for building KDE libs in one go. I have made the porting of KDE games some time ago. Not exactly. I will present right now the second part of Wikisys. What I've presented 2 minutes ago is the manager, which is a new project meant for managing KDE projects using Wikisys. The origin of Wikisys was a bit more complicated, and it is still. It is perhaps meant for more advanced users and for more complicated situations. In this system, every directory or every directory where there are lots of targets contain a file, a conscript, and the conscript contains source code which actually compiles the file. In fact, the XML file we've seen a moment ago uses this API for compiling. So in this file, we attach to the object the target, the source, the libraries, and we call and execute. It is a callable class written in Python, but users or developers don't have to know this detail of implementation. So there is almost an isomorphism with makefile.am. Yes?
Is this file supposed to be written by the developer, or is it written by the GUI you just wrote, or
this
is
file
it
is,
always the same?
This file is handwritten. The developer writes it. In this file, loops and every programming tricks of the Python world are allowed. So you can add functions, you can add very complicated things. The only drawback is that this file is not meant to be read by a tool like a parser, which will check the targets and which will check if everything is working. So that it is very hard actually to write a GUI if we are using this interface. But more advanced developers may want to use it because they may find it more easy to work with. There is an isomorphism in terms of features between this system, which is script-based, and the XML file, which is description-based. So for casual programmers, it is better to use the XML configuration file, because there is a GUI, and for small projects, they probably don't want to write scripts by hand, Python code, etc. And for more advanced developers, they can use the Python code and the API and be happy with it. In fact, there is also something to switch between the script and the XML file. For example, in the main construct, it is necessary to add 4 lines to tell Pegasus to dump the configuration to XML. And when the tool is run, the XML file is automatically generated for reuse in an IDE like KeyDeveloper. Now, when writing a new project, it is necessary to either add an XML configuration file or to add scripts. The XML configuration file can be either handwritten or created automatically. But now, how to add new configuration checks for the project? In this case, there are three main modules used, which are Python files, the generic base of Pegasus, the KDE module, and the parser for the XML file. I will now show you quickly how to do for custom libraries. For the library XML, for example, to detect the lib XML.
Can you switch the video mode? It's about unreadable.
It's too dark, yes. Yeah.
The white background is okay.
For the lib XML, what's needed is to add two functions, which are exist and generate. And these functions are called when stance is launched. This function may contain more helpers to detect, for example, PKG config in this case, to check the version. They may add also the necessary functions to store the configuration and make the detection itself. This way, the configuration also provides an automatic mechanism to store the configuration variables, the constants, to files for later reuse. For example, you can find here all the KDE constants. It also makes it possible to see very quickly what's wrong with the configuration. Yes.
You don't have dependencies between such container objects? For example, you don't want to copy and paste all these package config details for every library object.
Yes, in fact, for the configuration, yes, you are afraid that there can be duplicated code for the detection. In fact, most of the useful code has been put in the generic module. For example, the little checks have been put there, and they are shared by modules which are opened afterwards. And it's been proven to be quite a satisfactory system in practice. Now, let's go back to the presentation. I have shown you how to declare targets, so the scripting interface and the GUI manager for BKCs, how to add new rules and configuration checks. So the further improvements and the most necessary improvements at the very moment are to improve the AutoTools compatibility, because many developers and users are confused if the command line arguments are not exactly the same. Wrappers are already provided, but the command line handling will need to be improved. Part of the problem is that there aren't many detection modules. There are some for GTK2, libxml, for ALSA, but there aren't that many modules. So more modules are awaited. And there are also quite a few configuration helpers. There are tools for PKG config, but more tools are needed. And the final step is to finish the GUI for BKCs, the P manager, for adding and removing targets sources, and for use for drag and drop. Well, as a conclusion, BKCs still targets a particular kind of application development. It's for casual programmers, it's for small projects and new projects. It won't solve magically the KDE issues with the central repository, and it won't solve all the KDE libs build issues. It also needs a stronger user base to keep evolving. Well, I hope that my presentation was clear enough, but I'm pretty sure some of you have questions, so I'd be happy to answer to them. Yes?
You said that make is unreliable because it relies on timestamps.
Yes, I said that make is unreliable because of timestamps.
So now I would like to see if you change a file without changing the timestamp and so being able to cope with that, because I'm having trouble reading and can.
In fact, stones release on cryptographic signatures
yes,
to know which files need to be rebuilt. This means that if you change a character in the file, stones will rebuild it. This is useful especially when distributing the compilation on many file systems. For example, on NFS, timestamps can be trusted.
But make it unreliable because it leaves the timestamps, but SCOMS does as well.
SCOMS does not. SCOMS does really on MD5.
But if you change a file without changing the timestamp, that's my point.
I'm sorry?
If you're not changing the timestamp, but change the file, how does SCOMS know that the file changed? It won't on every SCOMS invocation do an MD5 sum of every file involved.
Yes, SCOMS does compute the MD5 for every file involved.
In other words, this can be slow.
It's very slow.
No, this isn't. Computing the MD5 is not slow. But Sconce contains a lot of scripts, and the Python code is slow. This is
so
the...
Calculating the MD5 functions of all of...
Computing the MD5 is quite fast, actually. The main speed issues are related to the Python code and not to the MD5 computation. Changing to timestamps doesn't make Sconce twice as fast. Yes?
I think you're one of the issue that as you advertise that you can now build over IFS, which is probably a stupid idea. But anyway, if you want to do that, and you have these timestamps problems because IFS server has a slightly different time than your local machine, which is why it make normally breaks. But if you use MD5, then the local client has to first compute MD5, and it has to fetch the file from the server. So you're actually hitting the server with much more load, and if you're distributing a compile job to like 100 machines, and they all first of all compute MD5, then think, oh, there's nothing to do.
Well, that's an interesting remark, but in practice, most Sconce users and developers agree on the fact that the MD5 computation is not a problem usually, because the files are really small, and it is not a problem. What's more is that, anyway, the files have to be scanned for dependencies. So, it is unavoidable to open the files and to look
cached.
What's inside.
But the dependency information are cached, no?
The dependency information are cached.
So what is the key for this cache?
What is?
If you have a cache, you usually only invalidate the cache if some key invalidates. And that's usually the timestamp of the file.
The MD5.
So you first have to scan the whole file to generate MD5 to see if your cache, which was cached over the whole file, is still valid.
Yes. However, for compiling KiDisert, for example, KiDisert is already quite big. The startup time of Sconce is a few seconds, so it can be neglected. It's not very important. Yes.
How does it solve dependencies between already generated files? Like, for example, if you rebuild one lib, then you have to also rebuild all the libs that depend on it.
Well, you will have to look at the Sconce documentation because I'm not sure that my answer will actually be clear enough. What I can say is that Sconce, this is something I haven't detailed in my presentation, Sconce computes MD5 sums of the source code and caches the dependencies. That's all. Yes. Yes.
Actually, as you know, the KDA works on really a lot of actually architecture, different architectures.
Yes.
And I wonder, does Sconce works on this too?
Yes, Sconce, in fact, is works really well on Windows platforms, so it is not a problem at all. Additionally, only Python functions are used. And this makes it very easy to port software to other platforms.
What about things like, for example, Conqueror is supposed to be can be compiled to Qtopia. That's cross-platform things and so on.
For the configuration checks, this is also much more. This is also easier to do in Python than it is in M4 language. Because Python code is real code, it's not a pile of macros. Yes.
Does it generate something like the config.h with the other tools?
It can generate the config.h, but it's not included by default. You have to enable it. I have tried to keep a minimum base that will satisfy 90% of the developers who use BKCs at the very moment.
Okay, but we don't have accounts that any of the dependencies on the source code.
I'm sorry?
Without a config.h or something, the equivalent, you don't actually can have any additional dependencies in your source code or compile for different platforms. If you have one chunk of code that's only...
Well, defines can be added on the command line, so that's not a problem. If people really want a config.h, it is possible to generate it. It's not a problem at all.
Okay, but when is it generated? Is it generated when it's first needed, or is it generated on the configure step?
Well, it is generated on the configuration step. I've been perhaps too fast on the configuration step. Each module provides its own options. So first we have the generic help with the instructions. We then have generic configuration options, debug, prefix, extract routes. We also have destir, which is needed for building, for example, RPMs, and the KDE options. When invoked with the configure argument, the tool will ask every module, Sconce will process every module to find the necessary variables to set up. Once the configuration is run, the cache directory is filled. With the option themselves.
Why is the cache directory not below the build directory?
I have chosen to put the cache in a separate directory, though it is possible, because when cleaning my files, I can remove the build directory from times to times. But keep the configuration unchanged, so I don't have to rerun the configuration every time.
Okay, but sometimes you want to have your source code built several times with different options. For example, regression testing that you don't have broken any optional code parts. So yeah, one different configurations with different build directories.
Yes, it is possible to mix several build directories at once. The preferred solution at the moment is simply to let Sconce handle this. For the pin manager, for example, I have compiled the project with no options at all. And Sconce doesn't rebuild anything because everything is already built. But now if I configure with debug options, now all files will be rebuilt with the debug flags, which are hyphen g, etc. And once the compilation is finished, if I switch the configuration once again to a non-debug configuration. The instance will retrieve the objects from the cache. So it is quite easy to switch between several debugging configurations without having to build all files all the time. In fact, Stance makes hashes of the commands used to produce the files, and this makes it possible to retrieve the right object files for the for a particular command.
And it stores basically all the files in the cache directory somewhere and soon links it to the web directory.
Yes, the objects are put under the cache directory. In the objects subdirectory. A quick reference for those interested, some build system reviews and the main websites for the build system describes. And for those who still don't want to change, there are good documentation to consider. Okay, well, thank you very much for attending my talk, and feel free to contact me if you have questions after this.
La O
es solo la O, ¿no?
Y la E es no.
Es jodido.
¿Te lo enseño? A ver si. Ah, mira.
No.
Aquí. Tenemos si. Ya sabes también. No sé, igual que tú.
Sí, se acabó de lo que se han llevado todo. ¿Hay disponible algún camarero para el salón de grado A?
Era.
Ah, mira. Está viendo hasta New Fine, ¿no?
Sí, eso es cuando tienes la conferencia, sí.
¿Y aquí? No, 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 probablemente ha empezado el tiempo de tiempo. Ha empezado.
Pues no, no.
somos hijos también.
Verdaderamente que también.
I think that this is a little bit short.